Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Notes up here. How about that? All righty. Well, you may be seated. We'll get right started right away. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. It's an honor to be here to share about one of my favorite subjects, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the gifts of the Spirit are operable in the church today. We need to be using the church, using the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read out several different translations of the Bible tonight. This is how the Amplified. We're going to kind of skip through. This is the use of spiritual gifts is the title of my Bible here. Verse 1 says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I didn't want you to be uninformed. I think one translation says ignorant. Verse 4 says, now there are distinctive, say distinctive, varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. In who? How many is a believer here? Well, I see one hand didn't go up. We'll get you for the night's over with. But it's the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. And there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service, but it's the same Lord who is served, and there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things. But it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. But to each one, say each one, who's the one? Still got one hand ain't going up. We'll get her. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the spiritual illumination in the name of the Holy Spirit for what? The common good. Verse 8. To one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom. We're talking about nine gifts here. That's gift one. To another, the power to express. The power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. Number two. To another, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit. Three. To another, the extraordinary gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 10. And to another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy for telling the future, speaking a message from God to the people, and to another discernment of spirits, the ability to distinguish sound, godly doctrine from deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults, to another various kinds of unknown tongues, and to another interpretation tongues. Verse 11, all these things, the gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering are brought about by one, the same Holy Spirit, distributing each one individual just as he chooses. All right, before I begin here, this is a little different format, and I'm not very comfortable with. But it's going to be a teaching series, but not just a teaching series. It's going to be kind of like, you know, we're going to learn the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's going to come later on. We're going to learn about all the gifts, and we're going to learn how to use the gifts. But it's going to be kind of like a lab because each of you are going to have the opportunity to use a gift. And I'll call on you. You may be on the very back row, but I'm going to have you down here front and center. Amen? Because, you know, you learn by using. You learn by using. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't have a very fluent language. But through practicing or through praying in the Spirit, it becomes more fluent. Same thing with anything. The more you practice, the easier it gets. Amen? And so we're going to put it into practice. Well, tonight's I'm going to focus on the giver of the gifts, the Holy Spirit. You know, next week we're going to talk about the gifts, not just the entirety of gifts. We're going to talk about what a gift is. And then after that, we're going to focus each night on the nine gifts of the Spirit. We'll probably do groups of three or one per night to see how it goes along. But we'll cover each gift in entirety. All right, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, go back to my Amplified Bible here if I can turn my page. verse 1, the giver of the Spirit, a giver of the gifts. Now, about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit. So who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit. All right, now verse 4. There are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in the same in believers. But it's the same Spirit who grants and empowers believers. So that here again we see that it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. Then verse 11 says, all these things, the gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering are brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit. Who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit. Your pastor doesn't give them. I don't give them. Your prayer partner doesn't give them. The Holy Spirit gives you the gifts. So we're going to kind of focus on the Holy Spirit tonight because he's the giver of the gifts. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not a new thing. He's been around since the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it talks about in the beginning who the Holy Spirit was there. He was there in the beginning, the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, God is a triune being. And that word triune, it means consisting of three parts, three different entities. And so, you know, we can relate to that because, you know, I am a son. I'm a son, but also I'm a husband, and I'm a father, but I'm one person. But I'm a triune being in this type right here. And so God is also a triune being, but he also consists of, his makeup is triune also. He's we're going to see here that he consists of a body, a soul, and a spirit. So the first thing about God, he is a spirit. In fact, John 4:24 says, God is spirit. See, a spirit is an unseen entity. You can't see the Holy Spirit. But it's kind of like the wind. You can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. There's things that you can't see, but we know they're there. And one of them is, you know, is that God is a spirit. The Spirit of God has no boundaries. He has no limitations. When we were at Dr. Oral Roberts' home several years ago, I don't know if this Bible right here, I wrote down some nuggets that Dr. Roberts said that day. And one of them I never will forget, he says, the Holy Spirit that lives inside you, is your believer, has no limits. You know, we have limits, but you know, most of our limits we limit to ourselves, but the Holy Spirit has no limits. And so he has no boundaries. You know, you don't have to be in a certain church to have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be in a certain country to have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a certain education to have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's everywhere. He has no limits. He has no boundaries. Psalm 139, the psalmist says, you know, God, where can I go from your spirit? He said, if I go to the heights of the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths of hell, you're there. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is there. You know, isn't it neat that you can get, I got a good friend got saved in a bar one night. You know, who them about getting saved in a bar? I got saved in a ranch house one night. I didn't have to get saved in church. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was there. And so he has no limitations. You know, we often say this, you know, I can feel the presence of God. How many can say I've felt the presence of God? Amen. That's what I love about our church. And our church is not dead. Amen. I've been in churches where you had to really feel to feel the Holy Spirit, feel the presence of God, or even sense the presence of God because the church was so dead. But no matter how dead it was, the Holy Spirit was still there. But, you know, we have this, we say that, you know, we sense the presence of God, or presence of God, or we're feeling or sensing it, and it's because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He is spirit. He's everywhere. He's right here. Isn't that cool? You know, if we get just one revelation out of the Bible, and thank God there's a lot of revelation in the Bible. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, but if you just get one revelation and grasp that thing and get a hold of it, it'd be this, that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You know, we say it all the time, but I mean, just saying doesn't make it a reality. But I mean, when you get to that reality that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you know, to love through you, to use authority through you, to use power through you. You know, I've known about the Holy Spirit for years. And I remember several years ago before camp meeting, I got a revelation of John 14, 12. And, you know, Jesus said this. He said, "These works I do, you will do also, and greater works shall you do." And I'd read that thing so many times. "These same works I do," he says, "you will do." Not just talking to me, but he's talking to you, Jeffrey. He's talking to you, Jim. He's talking to you. "These works I do, you will do also." In other words, you can do the very same things that Jesus did. You can say, I can't do that. Well, Jesus said you could. He said you could. You could do these things. You could heal the sick. You can cast out demons. You can raise the dead. You can do these things. All things are possible to him who believes. You can do these things. He said, "These works you shall do also, but greater works." Now, that just blows my mind. I mean, can you imagine something greater than what Jesus did? And we say, well, we got all this technology and science and all these things. He's not talking about that. He said, "Greater things shall you do." Why? "Because I go to the Father, and I'm going to send you another helper." Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. Where is he? He's inside you. Every one of you. You got the same Holy Spirit I do. In fact, I'll prove to you, you got the same Holy Spirit Jesus had. You didn't get downsized. The various, you don't have A model and B model and C models of the Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. If you can ever get that revelation, it'll change your life. It'll change your faith, how you can believe God for things. It'll change how you operate, how you live. It'll change your entire being. So if you can just get that one thing about it. You know, when Jesus was baptized, you remember the story when Jesus was baptized? You know, he was born, of a virgin. And, you know, he didn't have the seed of man, but he had the seed of God. He was birthed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. Another miracle. And she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, in reality, Joseph was just his stepdad that raised him. Foster dad, whatever you want to call him. But his mother, I mean, he was all man, but he was all God. But all before Jesus went into the ministry, he operated just like you and I did. He built tables and chairs. I can't build tables and chairs. But he did all kind of carpentry work because he was a carpenter. He played games. He did all kinds of things. He went to church. He learned things from books and from his mom and dad. You know, he had dirty diapers. He had snotty noses. He had all kinds of stuff, just like anybody else, because he was all man in a sense. But here's what changed him. Remember when he was baptized in John chapter 1? It says that John was there to baptize him. And he said, "I saw," what? "The Spirit of God." He didn't see the Spirit of God, but in the form of a dove, remember? And he said, "I saw this dove come out of heaven." It was a manifestation of something I can't see, but it was something I could see in the form of a dove. And he landed on Jesus. The Bible says that he remained there. And from that very point, you know, signs and wonders begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen. In Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit. Before then, he couldn't be led by the Spirit because the Spirit wasn't inside of him. He'd be led by the voice of God or instructions from somebody, but he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so signs, wonders, and miracles are all manifestations of the Spirit of God. When you see a miracle, it's just a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you see a sign or a wonder, it's just a manifestation of something you can't see, of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2, I'll read that to you out of the Passion. Get a little time to lay in these things. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place, and suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. They heard it from out of the heavenly realm. They didn't see it, but they heard it. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anybody could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared. It separated in tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Holy Spirit. All right. So God is a spirit. We found that in John chapter 4, verse 24. And the Spirit of God contains all the attributes of God. You can't see it, but it contains, the Holy Spirit contains all the attributes of God. All right, we're going to talk about some things of that. Well, God is a spirit, but God also has a soul. God has a soul. See, the soul consists of your mind, or mind, will, and emotions. You know, one's mind has the ability to imagine, perceive, make decisions, store information, and recall from memory. Now, that's most of you, especially recall from memory. It was from the mind of God that he saw creation of this world. God thought it in his mind. He saw it with his mind. Okay. The will of God. We might say or use the word desire in exchange for the will of God. Anytime you talk about the will of God, it's not a written out will. It's desire of God. God has a desire. And so it's this... The will of God is his motivation to change a portion of his creation from darkness into light. See, this earth existed, but it was dark. It was the will of God, his desire to change darkness into light. It's from his will that motivates us to make decisions based on what we see, what we desire, and what we believe. So basically what I'm saying is God's will or his desire is the core of his belief system, his mind, his will, and his emotions. Okay? That's why it's very important that our minds must be transformed and renewed to the will of God. It's important that your mind be transformed. I don't want to go into a long teaching about our mind, but how it stores up like a giant computer all the things been put into it. Bad, good, ugly, and all that kind of stuff. But our minds, in order to do the will of God, our minds must be transformed to the will of God. It's got to be renewed to the will of God. Nothing outside, this is Luann's favorite scripture, nothing outside of the will of God is good. See, therefore, it is our foundation stone for praying, God, your will be done on this earth, your desire, be will do done on this earth, same way as in heaven. So that's the will of God. The third part of the soul, mind, will, and emotion, are parts of the soul. The third part of the soul is one's emotions. It was the emotions of God that desired to recreate the earth. When God looked down and saw there was darkness there, it was the will of God, but it's also the emotions of God. God desired light to come. It was the emotions of God that set the children free from Israel, from Egypt. That was his will. He saw, he heard, it said in Exodus, he saw and heard their cries. And so it was his emotions that desired for them to be free. It was his emotions that healed the sick. It was his emotions that raised the dead. God has emotions just like you and I do. He sees someone hurt, he hurts. He sees someone's in need, he sees that too. So, you know, when Jesus saw the sick in Matthew chapter 10, When he saw the sick and the lost, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And so God has, you know, not only a mind and a soul and a will, but he also has emotions. God has a body. Now, we don't know what God the Father looks like, but God has a body. In John chapter 1, let's go there and read this other passion also. In the very beginning, the living expression, talking about God, was already there. In the beginning. Your King James says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the very beginning, the living expression of God was already there, and the living expression was God, was with God, yet fully God. You couldn't see the Spirit of God brooding on the earth, above the earth, but God was there. His expression was there through the Holy Spirit. They were together face to face in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things, for nothing has existed apart from him. Life came into being because of him. For his light is light of all humanity, and the living expression is light that bursts through the gloom, and light of darkness could not diminish. Now look at verse 14. And so the living expression, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, became a man and lived amongst us. So God is God is Spirit. God has a will. God has emotions. God has a mind. So if God is a triune being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and then if you and I are created in the image of God, we're also triune beings. You have a physical body. We all look different. We all have a physical body. Paul says it's just a tent. That's just where your spirit resides and your soul resides. You have a soul. You have a mind. You have a will. And you have emotions. You know, when we're born again, here's what happens. There's a transformation process. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are recreated. For good works. We're his workmanship, recreated for good works. So it's this transformation that transforms our mind, our will, and emotions. Let me make this statement here. You will never minister effectively. You will never minister effectively. See, the Bible says we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. You will never minister effectively or fulfill your divine purpose until your mind is renewed, you have settled what is the perfect will of God for any situation, and have compassion for others to be in his will spiritually, physically, and mentally. So you have a physical body, you have a soul. The Bible says you have a spirit. See, that's the eternal part of you. Everybody has a spirit, even the lost have a spirit, because their spirit will if it's not reborn, will spend eternity in hell. Because, like God, you are the real you. See, we look in the mirror and say, this is who I am. That's not who you really are. That's just the tent that you're living in. The spirit inside you is the real you. And that's the one that was created in the image of God. Your body doesn't look like God. Your soul doesn't look like God because it has to be renewed. But the spirit inside you, when it's reborn again, looks like God. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 9. It says, in fact, the mindset focused on flesh fights God's plan. If you just focused on your flesh, your desires, it's outside the will of God, it fights God's plan for your life. and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. Now look at verse 9. But when the Spirit of Christ, anointing of Christ, empowers your life, you're not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you're not joined to the Spirit of God, the anointed one, you're not of him. Very clearly. Now Romans chapter 8. Just getting some basics here tonight. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let me just clarify something about sons of God. That word sons, there's two words for children in the Bible. And one of them is immature, thumb-sucking, milk-eating babies. But it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God. See, sons is not gender-friendly. It's for men and women both. So you have to be allowed to be led by the Spirit. See, that word sons there is the word, I believe it's the way to pronounce it, huios, H-U-I-O-S, and it means maturity. See, it takes maturity. This is very, very important to be, we get into the gifts. See, gifts are not usually displayed by someone of immaturity, even though they can. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons or huios or mature children of God. It takes maturity to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I'm going to read this to you. I have the Good News Version. It says, who does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts from God's Spirit. Did you hear that? Whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. Did you get that? You got revelation? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't receive the gifts. Amen? It says, such people really do not understand them. They are nonsense to them because their value can only be judged on a spiritual basis. See, that's why some of you, that you disregard and disrespect the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Say, well, that's not for today. We didn't do it in my church like that I used to go to. We didn't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, that's being stupid. That's just saying you don't have the Spirit of God. Because you have to have the Spirit of God to operate in the gifts. And if you don't understand them, and that's what we're going to try to do is get you to understand them through this teaching. If you don't understand them, you're not putting any value on them. You can say, I don't believe in that the gift of tongues. I don't believe in the gift of the word of knowledge. I don't believe in the gifts and miracles. Well, it's because you don't put no value on them because they're nonsense to you. See, that's why you got to have your mind renewed, just going back to Romans chapter 12. You got to start thinking like God thinks. You can, the Bible says, you can have the mind of Christ. It's possible to have the mind of Christ. Think like God, rationalize things, analyze things like Jesus did. You can have that. See, Jesus, back to what we were talking about, Jesus being baptized, he operated in the natural. He didn't say, I just command a table to come forth right now in my name. It didn't happen. He operated in the natural. But after he was baptized, the Spirit of God, come on. Remember, John said, I saw the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descend. I didn't see the Spirit. I knew it. How did he know it's the Spirit of God? Revelation. Same way he had a revelation when he's inside his mama's womb and Jesus is in his mama's womb, he saw Jesus. Revelation. I saw the Spirit of God. descend in the form of a dove and land on Jesus. And the Spirit of God contained all the attributes of God. Say this with me. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, contains all the attributes of God. All righty. You know, later on, I think I'll probably show you some examples how Jesus operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I want to just keep on focusing on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a voice. Turn to John chapter 16. We're just on the banks tonight. We're going to get some deep water pretty soon. Amen? Verse 16, verse 13. Talking about the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How do you guide someone? You give them directions. Amen? You don't just, I'm trying to go to my ranch and wagon mount or tell somebody how to get my ranch and wagon mount in New Mexico. It's like it's right here. I'm thinking where it is. No, I'll tell you how to go. Step by, I told you the other day, John, how to get up there. Road by road, by turn by turn. He will guide you into all truth. Amen? For he will not speak. What did he say? Who's talking about the Holy Spirit? You mean the Holy Spirit speaks? He can speak? Jesus said he will speak. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Come on. That'll excite somebody. Tell you about something to come. I mean, how many wants to know how next month is going to play out? Amen? Let me just give you a little example of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll kind of share some things going along. But, you know, back in December when I was preparing for our prophetic New Year service that we've been doing for years, I was seeking God's voice. I'm listening to God's voice. And I remember waking up one morning, and we were in a major drought. And I, being a rancher, I always look at the forecast, long-term forecast. I looked at the long-term forecast. Long-term forecast says El Nino is going to be with us at least two more years. Drought in the Southwest is going to continue. And I walk outside that morning, and I thought, man, it smells like rain. And I just, me and Louie have been talking, you know, you go outside, it smells so dry and dusty, and, you know, you can just smell the drought. And it's that morning, I mean, it's just like the other day, you got up, and it rained all night long. Man, it smelled so good. You can smell rain. Amen? And I thought, man, it smells just like rain. And I thought, maybe rain's coming. And I heard God say this, the abundance of rain is coming. And I said that prophetically. And it was dry at the time. That's in January, December. Well, I mean, last year I had 6 inches of rain in my house. This year, in the last 10 days, I've had over 8 inches of rain. I've had 4, 5, 6 at the ranch. I've had 7, 8 at the ranch at Eagle's Nest. It's raining, folks. But then God said, there's another. See, I heard this. The Holy Spirit spoke. The abundance of rain is coming. And then he says, followed by the abundance of spiritual rain. Come on. I believe there's some spiritual rain going to start falling. Amen? And I heard this. I heard the Holy Spirit tell me of things to come. He said, just like several years ago when I said there's going to be a major shift change in the Vatican. That was in January, March that year. For the first time in the history of the world, a pope stepped down and a new pope came in. And it's been very significant. In December, whenever it was, the 23rd or 4th, when I heard God say this, he says, a major event is happening mid-year. Remember me saying that? I said, a major event. Guess what's happening right now in Israel? I mean, just besides the war, that's common stuff. That happens all the time, fighting. But right now, today, they're trying to kick Netanyahu out of office. And he's been there longer than any prime minister. Guess who's stepping in? Come on. an Arab. An Arab. Not a covenant man. An Arab in Israel. That's pretty significant. I don't know what's going to happen or not. But that may not be the major event God told me, but told me about. There's things that are happening right now. Amen. It's prophetically. That's why it's so important in this day and time that you need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Never before. See, the Holy Spirit is a voice. It's His voice that initiates the gifts inside of you. You got the gift. I'll prove to you, you got a gift. Amen? You got every one of you. I don't care if you never used a gift, one of the gifts, nine gifts. You got a gift. In fact, you should be using all nine gifts. Now, there's other gifts talking about in the Bible that talks about, you know, administrations and helps and all this kind of thing. That's an individual deal. I'm talking about these gifts. And I know the Bible said, we just read it, that He distributes to each one as He wills. He's wills that you each have a gift. That you operate in all nine gifts. I've operated in all nine. Luann's operating all nine. You should be operating all nine too. But that, I'm getting ahead of myself. He distributes as He will. He might not give you all nine in one time. But each time He'll say, all right, it's time to operate in the word of knowledge. It's time to operate in the word of wisdom. It's time to operate in the gifts of healing. It's time to operate in the gifts of miracles. But operating all of them. So it's His voice that initiates the gift inside of you. So it's very vital, listen to me, that you not only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because He speaks. Jesus is probably not going to speak to you and say, hey, Justin, this is Jesus. I'm coming from the right hand of the Father, and I got a word to give you right now. That's not going to happen. It's probably not Father God going to give you a word. When I hear the voice of God, it's not really God. It is God because the Holy Spirit is God. They are one. But it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to me. In fact, I think your eardrums would shatter if God said, K. Really? He's got to tone it down. I can't prove that, but I think voice is like thousands of waters, it says. Amen? All right. So it's vital that you hear the voice of God, that you recognize the voice of God, but it's just as vital that you respond. Come on. See, most people, when get to talking about the gifts, they hear the voice, you hear it on the inside, and you think, this must be God, but I'm just kind of scared to do it. See, it's vital that you say it. I'm not going to call her by name, but there's sometimes, you know, I'm more prone to operate in a word of knowledge than anything. Nearly every time I preach somewhere, I have a word of knowledge for somebody. I remember one Sunday morning here, I had a word of knowledge that was so far-fetched. And it was, there's someone here that God just told me that you have a genetic disease you were born with, and God is healing you right now. I saw the lady in my eyes begin to cry because that was her. She told me later out of service, she said, nobody knew except me and my husband, my doctor, and my dad. Nobody knew that. The disease she had should have killed her when she was a teenager. She's still alive. So, I mean, no matter how far-fetched it is, it's God, you have to respond to it. There's things Luann the other day, not the other day, we were in Powerhouse Church in Orlando. And it was Hector and Noshley's pregnant. And Luann called her forth to pray over, had a word for her. So she prayed for her because she's pregnant. And she said, there's someone else here that's pregnant and you haven't told nobody. And that's pretty bold to say. Now I'm on platform with her. I thought, I'm looking, nobody, Luann said, come on forth. God has a word for you. I'm looking hard. There ain't nobody coming. And finally, this girl that we knew, she stood up. And she came down. She hadn't told anybody. They just found out. They just found out. They had a word for her. See, it takes that response. You don't want, when God gives you a word or gives you a gift, you don't want to miss it because it's not something from you. It's something that God wants to impart to somebody. It's so important that you deliver God, you God's messenger boy, that you deliver what God gave you. And you get it through the Holy Spirit. You and I are disciples. A disciple is a follower of someone else and applies their teaching in their everyday lives. Jesus' disciples, they healed, they cast out demons, they raised the dead. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, 7 through 8 tells all these things. His disciples healed, they raised the dead, cast out demons. See, these disciples at this time operated under his authority. He gave them authority. He said, go heal the sick. Go cast out demons. Go raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely you give. You can study out in Matthew chapter 10. See, these disciples operated under the jurisdiction like a deputy under a sheriff. He had the authority, but they operated under his authority. Amen? But before Jesus left the earth, he promised these. He said, these works I do, you will do also. Greater works shall you do because I'm going to go to the Father, because I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus promised all his disciples that he is sending the promise, say the promise, from John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit, to fully equip them in power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's just read that. But you, say you, or say me, you shall receive power. Now that, you know what, well, that word power, there's several words for power. One is exousia, this is the word dunamis. And dunamis is a very, very powerful word. It's where we get dynamos and dynamite. It means miracle working power. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. See that? I always thought why say Jesus? Did say Jesus Christ? Said Jesus of Nazareth. See that? That identified with his humanity. How God anointed a human being, Jesus of Nazareth, with, come on, Holy Ghost. We don't like the word ghost. Use the word Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit and with power. So you can't separate the two. He anointed with Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and with power. Well, that word power there is word dunamis. Miracle working power. You wonder how Jesus raised Lazarus? With Holy Spirit and with power. You want to know how he healed the lepers, how he healed blind eyes? With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all? Say all. He healed all. Why? Because he was anointed with Holy Ghost and with power. Who healed all who were sick? Jesus. Now verse 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when, say when. What is when? It's a point of time. It's a point of time. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all the end of the earth. You know, that's a good Baptist message right there, because they don't talk about raising the dead and healing there. They say witnesses. You know, they say, you know, well, you know, when you get the Holy Spirit, you'll be a witness. In other words, you can take the four spiritual laws and you can lead someone to Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. I can prove to you that a witness is a miracle. Signs and wonders, I can prove. That's a witness. That's a witness. Amen? You shall receive power. So when is the time? There had to be a move from this spot to this spot right here. And it happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came in like a roaring, mighty wind. They heard it. They didn't see it. And all of a sudden, the same Holy Spirit came in the form of a pillar of fire and divided up, and each flame of tongues set upon each one and baptized with Holy Ghost and power. Let me make a statement, then we're going to close. How about that? I'm going to get done before 8. That is a miracle. Pastor Trav's been praying, fasting for days about this. Miracle signs and wonders. Here's a statement. The creative power of the Holy Spirit may exist in you. I believe that you have the Holy Spirit when you get born again. He makes up residence inside you. He's what transforms you. That's how you get, it's recreative. Let me just inspire. The creative power of the Holy Spirit may exist in you, but God sent the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest his presence through his gifts in you for the benefits of others. What now? He sent you the Holy Spirit to manifest his presence through his gifts in you for what? The benefits of others. Refusing to use your gift or gifts is being selfish on your part. You can say, well, Pastor, I got the Holy Spirit and I got saved. Can I tell you about when I got saved? Real short. I hadn't been in church 6 times, but the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And I'll tell you how he's dealing with me. I had people praying for me. I gave my testimony at church one time, Trinity Church in Lubbock, Texas. Big church. A little lady came up to me and she says, I want to show you something. I've been praying for you for years. She opened up her Bible. My name was on her hit list. She said, I knew you was one of the worst human beings in this part of the country. I've been praying for you. She's praying for me. Had a little Baptist church in Roosevelt, Texas. They were praying for me because they knew how bad I was. I had a grandmother's praying for me. I had aunts that's praying for me. People were praying for me. And so the Holy Spirit was, he found me on 1585 one night. Just bought a 6-pack of beer. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, so I asked God to change my life. There was a creative miracle. The Holy Spirit came and lived inside me. But then I had a win later. I had a win later. See, I got so hungry for God, I started going to the bookstore and buying books. And I bought this book called Power and Praise by Melvin Carruthers. He's a prison chaplain. And I'm reading about halfway through it. It talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. And so I began to read it. It says you can ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, I want that. I had no doctrine in me. I've been saved 2 months. And all of a sudden, I began to pray in the Spirit. I didn't know what I was saying. I just began to pray in the Spirit. I was so excited. After I got saved, a little Baptist preacher lived about 10 miles from me, had a parsonage right by the church. I used to see him at a local steakhouse all the time. We had a steakhouse, cotton gin, and a service station. All was there. Plus a school and a Baptist church and Church of Christ. All in town. I'd see him there all the time. I said, hey, preacher, come down to the ranch here. We're going to have a beer bust. We'll get drunk and do some crazy things. You know, I make fun of him. I'd sit next to him and with a bunch of his people there, and I'd use the worst language I could use, loud. I'd tell ugly, ugly stories where they all could hear me. That's just the way I was. But after I got saved, man, he's the first guy I call. I said, I need to talk to you. He came down to the house, and we talked. I was in church the next Sunday morning, every Sunday, every Wednesday after that. And so I'd read this book. And so, I can't wait to get to Brother Oscar's house. I get in there. I got my Marlboro cigarettes in my pocket there. And I mean, he's so gracious to me. They didn't have no ashtrays because they was Baptist pastors. And I'd go in his house there, and they give me a lid off a mason fruit jar, and I use it for an ashtray. And I said, guess what happened? He said, what? I got baptized in the Holy Ghost last night. I'm praying in tongues. You know what he told me? He said, that's of the devil. You better quit doing that. I did. I quit. And then I got around people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought, they are so much. I mean, I was on fire for God. I mean, I wasn't an ordinary Christian. I was a fanatic. And, I mean, I led people to the Lord. I lost track. First year, I led hundreds of people to the Lord. I just go out witnessing. Me and buddies go out door knocking, go on the streets, just win people to the Lord. And so, but I got around some people. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought, man, they understand that Bible. Like I read it all the time, but I don't understand it. They got faith. I never seen faith like that. I saw witnesses. I saw things happen like I could not believe. I thought, man, I want what they want. And me and Luann got married, and she was wanting more of God, and I'm still got this baptism in me. Says, I ain't believing that stuff because that's of the devil. How stupid is that? I mean, how stupid is it to say that baptism, the Holy Spirit's of the devil? When Jesus' mother spoke in tongues, when Paul, the greatest apostle, spoke in tongues, Matthew, Mark, all of them prayed in the Spirit, floating the gifts. That's of the devil. And so she got really hungry for God. I said, I think you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so she began to pray for it, and she got it. And I mean, I saw the change in her. I mean, she went from a little meek Baptist girl to a wild Pentecostal woman. I mean, she would talk to you about Jesus. She'd pray for you. She'd get you healed. All kind. I thought, I don't believe that's of the devil. I think I want it too. So I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. See, are you saying that I have to have the Holy Spirit? I know this whole story goes around all the time. You have to have the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I won't tell you what. That's an old story. In order to operate the gifts, you need that. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, to lead a victorious Christian life, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's not your when. It's not your when. Now, I want to just close this way. I don't know if this is proper on a Bible college deal or not, but I want to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pastor got an inmate baptized in the Holy Ghost today. Changed his life. He may be in a cell, but he's free. He may want to stay there. I don't know. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to stand up. Then I want you to come down front. Stand up here on the stage. You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. You pray in tongues. Come on. We're going to get bold tonight. All right. You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on down. Come on down. All right. I might get uninvited for next week. All righty. Come on down, Ed. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on, Miss Reba. All right. All right. All right. All righty. Now I want y'all to begin to pray in the Spirit out loud, really loud. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's have a Holy Ghost reunion up here. Come on. Kill him, of course, son. All right. Now, the rest of you, you want this to be your when? You need it. You need it. You don't have to have it. You can go to heaven without it. But you're going to miss a lot of living right here on this earth. You're going to miss a lot of miracles. It'll help your faith. It'll help your faith. It'll help you understand it. When you read the Bible, it's just like Jesus teaches it to you. He teaches you, guides you in all truth. You need it. You want victory living? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you 9,000 reasons why you need it. So if you want it, come on down. You're going to get it. Come on. It's going to be your win. Come on. It's going to be your win. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You already have one. All right, praise God. Oh, yeah, I was going to read you this. Yeah, Pastor, Acts 19. Pastor Brandon and Luann, y'all come down and lay hands on Pastor Robert. Acts chapter 19. Amen. Just begin to lay hands. Acts chapter 19. It says, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. What's a disciple? Someone who follows Jesus' teaching. Amen. We're all disciples. You're here tonight. You're a disciple. He found disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, when did you get the Holy Spirit? When you believed. He's not talking about that experience. He's talking about something else. So they said to him, we have not much as heard where there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, indeed, baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people, they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus because they repented of their sins. And then verse 6 says, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. The gifts came upon them at the baptism right there. Amen. We were at a ranch in New Mexico, me and Luann. And I spoke at this Baptist church. And the elder and his wife were in the house there. And I read that scripture to them. And they was talking about, you know, our church is so defeated. Our people live such a defeated life. We live a very defeated life. And I said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for them. And that deal became a very strong church that day. New church and community because they got the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. I'm just going to lay hands on you, and you're going to get it. Amen? But let me tell you something. It's like, you know, I can speak in English. I can speak pretty okay in Spanish. But I have to let the words in. I can say, ¿Quieres venta la ganado? Would you want to sell your cattle? Or I can say, you want to sell your cattle? I had to decide. Nobody's going to control my tongue and say, well, all of a sudden, you're going to speak with a Mexican tongue. No quiero ventar mal ganado. See, it's cool. So, you know what? You have to let it out. It's in here. You got to let it out. So I'm going to lay my hands on it. I want you to raise your hands and begin to praise God. And you'll hear things stirring inside you. You think, that's not a word. You don't have to identify as a word. What is a word? Someone said sometimes. Amen. So you're just creating things inside. Just let it flow out. Father, I was asking you right now, as I lay my hands on this young man, Father God, you baptize him with the Holy Spirit, God. God, I pray, Father God, just be able to release his prayer language to you right now. Begin to praise you and worship in this new language. God, just let rivers come out to you. Raise your hand and worship God. Speak those words out to say, is your form. God, just let those rivers of words come out right now, God, so we can worship you, God, in this new language, God. In this new language. You guys just keep praying. Just hear that word. Speak it out. You got to activate it. See, we'll show this in the teaching here. The gift of tongues and your prayer language being baptized in the Holy Spirit are two different things. Your prayer language is just the language that God gives you. Sometimes Romans says there's times you don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit inside you with utterance, groanings, begins to pray through you. Ephesians, when it says praying with all kinds of prayer, baptism of the Holy Spirit is one prayer. It's your prayer language. Jude talks about praying in the Spirit always. You know, there's been times when I've been in extreme pain, and I'd pray in the Spirit and that pain would leave. You need the power of the Holy Spirit praying through you. Jesus, right now, Jesus, I'm not baptized right now, baptized in the Holy Spirit, God. God, give him that prayer language so he might worship you. Speak it out loud. You got it. Jesus, immerse him right now in the Holy Spirit. Jesus. God, let your Holy Spirit rest upon Jim right now and just baptize him, God, with the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for this man, God. I thank you for his pure heart, God. God, empower him right now with your Holy Spirit right now. Jim, you got a few more words. It's in your mind. Just speak out what's in your mind. You don't have to sound like words that you think it should like. Jesus, just rest on him. Jesus. God, give her this good gift of yours, God. Empower with the Holy Spirit, God. Let her begin to worship you. Let him begin to worship you, God, with his new language, God. You got it. God, we worship you, God. Thank you for this heavenly language, God. They can communicate, God. Empower them, God. Empower them with the Holy Spirit, God. Empower them, God. Stir up the gift inside them, God. Amen. Just keep praying. Did y'all get it? Let me encourage all of you that got it. The devil, you're going to leave here and they'll say, well, you didn't really get it. You got it. But you have to practice it. I pray now, I promise you, in the last 30 years, I pray more in the Spirit than I do in English. A lot more. If I don't know how to pray, I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Dr. Oral Roberts told me that he's baptism of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. He said, I never made a major decision unless I prayed in the Spirit and then let God give me an interpretation back. And he said, that's how I built ORU. Is God showed me the plan when I was praying in the Spirit. See, God will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things come through the Holy Spirit. And so when you communicate in the Holy Spirit, you'll be amazed how the Bible just opens up to you now. You'll just be amazed. You'll be amazed how your faith grows. You'll be amazed your peace level when you're going through some stuff because of the Holy Spirit. He's been inside. He's just been dormant. And now you activate it. Amen.
All right. Hey, let's be the church. Make a difference. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Have a good evening.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.